Microsoft discloses a zero day, Apple patches zero days, and Twilio discloses another breach. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morris and this is ThreatWire for November 1st, 2022. It's my birthday month, yay! This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. I have an exclusive Q&A live stream for Patreon supporters happening later this week. I think it's on Friday. For anybody who signs up before Friday, you can join in as well. Let's go ahead and jump right into the news this week. According to reports from last weekend, active ransomware attacks are hitting Windows via a newly discovered zero day, which can bypass Mark of the Web or MOTW security warnings. The ransomware uses malicious JavaScript files to bypass this feature. Mark of the Web is a Windows security feature which will prompt a user with a warning whenever a file has been downloaded straight from the internet and could potentially be malicious. The flag can be viewed in Notepad as a special identifier for files, and it includes three markers. There's a zone ID, a referrer, and the file's URL. The Windows security warning for an average user is just a simple pop-up that asks if they want to open the file and what publisher it is from. The user will see a warning as well that says the file could potentially harm their computer. These new attacks are downloaded JavaScript files, which are signed with a malformed key, according to Will Dorman of Analogence, a cyber solutions firm. The malformed key bypasses the MOTW flag, so a user is not faced with any security warning or prompt, so the script would open and execute automatically, which then installs Magnabur ransomware. The issue can also persist in .exe or executable files, not just the .js JavaScript ones, due to the ability to modify hex code in .exe executable files. Dorman posits that this issue affects Windows 10's smart screen feature. Microsoft is aware of this zero day, but they had not released a patch officially. Luckily though, an unofficial patch from the Opatch micropatching service is now available, which does fix this smart screen problem. According to Opatch, it stems from smart screen's quote, inability to parse the malformed signature in a file. So users can use the Opatch agent to install the unofficial patch, or you can wait for one to become available from Microsoft officially. In either case, be very cautious whenever downloading files from email attachments or from the web. Apple just released a slew of updates to their line of products and software to fix some vulnerabilities, some of which were actively exploited in the wild. iPad OS and iOS received a patch to fix a zero day, for example, which was ID'd as CVE-2022-42827. This one is an out-of-bounds write issue within the kernel, allowing an attacker to execute arbitrary code with escalated privileges. This problem was disclosed by an anonymous researcher, and very few technical details are actually known at this time. Now, we do know that this affects all models of iPad Pros, iPad Air 3rd generation, iPad 5th generation, iPad Mini 5th generation, and iPhone 8 and later models of the above. Now, after this was released, Apple updated their patch to be backported to even more versions of their OSs, to later include iPhone 6s, iPad Air 2, iPad 5th gen, iPad Mini 4th gen, and iPod Touch 7th generation. The advisory was also updated to reflect the newly discovered issues, now to include iOS 15.7.1 and iPad OS 15.7.1. So make sure to update even if you have an older iPad or iPhone. Other zero days were also fixed in this newest update, 19 in total, which affect a variety of firmware, including the kernel, WebKit, Bluetooth even, IOKit, Sandbox, and more. The full list contained within the security update for iOS 16.1 and iPad OS 16 include a lot of interesting new disclosures. Researchers discovered an issue with audio, which could allow an attacker to craft an audio file that could lead to information disclosure. An issue in core Bluetooth, in which an attacker could record audio using a pair of connected AirPods. Many issues that could allow an attacker to execute code with kernel privileges. And there was also the sandbox issue, in which an app could access users' sensitive data. The full list is disclosed in their updated documentation. Biggest of shout outs to my Hush Puppy perk level patrons for sharing their fur baby photos and for the support. And a huge thank you to my newest patrons, including Homie, for joining on patreon.com/threatwire. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/ShannonMorse for everything from tech reviews to security tutorials, including a whole slew of privacy videos that I did through the month of October. I think you'll enjoy them. They were really interesting. Also, don't forget to like and subscribe to Hack 5 as well. Well, let's go ahead and finish out today's episode with my last top story, all about Twilio. Again, Twilio disclosed yet another data breach that happened earlier this year. According to their new disclosure, this one happened on June 29th with an attacker using social engineering to steal employee credentials via a voice phishing attack, which is also called vishing. These credentials were used to access customer data, and the attacker's access was revoked within 12 hours. Affected customers were notified on July 2nd, and Twilio did not disclose exactly how many customers were affected in this data breach. The company also shared more findings about that August hack in the same public disclosure, which came out just a few days ago. To reiterate what had happened back in August, this attack happened when an attacker accessed customer data to an administrative portal via a targeted SMS-based phishing attack to steal some employee credentials. Now, this was also the same campaign that hit Cloudflare, MailChimp, and a lot of other companies. In some cases, like the one with Cloudflare, the attempts were actually blocked because the company had administered FIDO2 compliant hardware security keys, which the attacker could not steal remotely. Now, we now have some numbers associated with the August breach. In this event, 209 customers and 93 Authy end users were affected. As we know, this attack occurred due to that SMS phishing attack, but Twilio also confirmed that the attackers had access for two whole days after their first disclosure, which had come on August 7th. The breach did not affect any API keys, no console account credentials, or authentication tokens. Twilio has over 75 million users on Authy currently, which is used for two-factor authentication codes. And they also have over 270,000 customers using the tool for authenticating users. So the impacted customer base was relatively small in comparison to how large their company is, but it's still important. Twilio did respond by resetting credentials for compromised employee accounts, and no surprise, they also distributed FIDO2 hardware tokens to employees to upgrade their two-factor authentication. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? I'm Shannon Morse, and I will see you on the internet.